Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Really happy to be joined by a writer from the Chicago Tribune who's been covering sports in Chicago for a long time, Jimmy Greenfield, joining us here in the sports bar. Jimmy, Gene Battaglia here in Rochester. I think it might be one of those fun conversations where we're trying to learn about the guy that was just picked up in this trade, but then we here in Rochester, we had the front row seat to the Alex Nylander experience, so you know, feel free to ask us any questions here today.
Yeah, why was this trade made?
Yeah.
Sounds like you got the better player, everyone's saying. But I don't think it's as cut and dried as that. I think Henry Yerkiari is going to be a good player. So I don't think there's much doubt about that. It's a question of how high is the ceiling. It seems like Nylander is coming to the Hawks with a lot of question marks. And he's going to be at development camp next week for us, so we'll get a chance to see him firsthand.
Yeah, that's kind of a sore point here because the Sabres had their development camp, and they gave him the option. He said thanks, but no thanks. But questions I would love answered, and I don't know if we'll ever know it, but the way it ended in Rochester with the injury, and you had the head coach, when asked about it here in Rochester, said, well, it is what it is. That usually leaves a lot of room for interpretation there, but you're getting a player, I guess, that needed a fresh start here in Alex Nylander.
It seems like it. Seems like it's the kind of that, you know, change of scenery kind of player. The Hawks have kind of had a thing for taking those kind of players on recently. You know, Dylan Strome came to Chicago last year in a bit of a change of scenery trade, as did Brendan Perlini. Dylan Strome excelled. He started to reach the potential that made him a number three pick. And I think the Hawks are hoping to kind of duplicate that success with a young player who wasn't working out. I think they're somewhat different situations, though. You know, Dylan Strome came in really with a great attitude, and hopefully Alex Nylander does as well. It doesn't sound like he might have the same kind of personality as Dylan Strome, but we'll see about that. In Henry Yokoharu, you're getting somebody who was 19 last year when he joined the Hawks, and he came out of the gate doing pretty well. He ended up getting loaned out to Team Finland in mid-December and didn't really come back in the second half of the season. But when he played well. And nobody was quite sure why I wouldn't call it Jeremy Collins' doghouse. It wasn't like that. He just didn't trust him as much as Joel Quenneville did.
That was going to be my next question. How much of did the coaching change actually come into it? If Coach Q is still there, does Yokiharu even end up with the Sabres organization?
I think that's a great question, and I would say no. When he first started playing, when the season began, he was getting a lot of minutes. There was just a lot of trust there immediately, which is not typical for a Joe Quenneville team. And then within 2 weeks of the coaching change, Henry Yokiharu was a healthy scratch, and he never really found a place in the rotation after that. And his numbers didn't go down. I mean, he wasn't much of a scorer. He wasn't really a physical player. He didn't take chances, but he did his job. And I think that's what everyone expected. The poise was there. He was fine in the locker room. He's not the greatest interview in the world, but he was just this poised 19-year-old kid who looked like he was on his way to becoming a solid top four defenseman for a long time. Hawks fans, I will tell you, are not pleased about the trade at the moment.
No, I mean, that's the one thing that when this happened, and I'm sure Hawk fans are kind of tuned in to what you do a quick search on Alex Nylander, you realize here's somebody. Now, here's my opinion on from the get-go, they mishandled Alex Nylander when he came in as an 18-year-old. Tim Murray, the GM at the time, he should have been playing the OHL. Maybe he should have been back to Sweden. He was not even ready for the American Hockey League level. It took him 2 years to figure it out. Then in year three, you started to see some things here, Jimmy. But to me, I guess, is a story of how long does it really take to develop a prospect? And we ran out of time with Alex Nylander, whatever happened in the postseason and the supposed injury. But for Yoki Haruyu, it seems like, I don't know, that just seems like a minor bump in the road, what happened to him last year, you know, in Chicago. It seems like that seems like the normal course for a 19-year-old that, he'll play some good minutes. He might not play some good minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And keep in mind, the Hawks did not have to trade him. There's no contractual situation. He's obviously doesn't have a big cap hit being on an entry-level deal. They have some other defensive prospects in the system, but none of them are really so ready that they weren't going to have room for Yoki Haruyu in case of an injury. Now, Yoki Haruyu probably was going to be in the AHL again based on the players that Stan Bowman has brought in the offseason. But, one of those guys goes down, and Yoki Haruyu is the guy they might have brought up again and counted on. So, you know, the Hawks clearly wanted Nylander and had no problem moving on from Yoki Haruyu. And, this is a trade I think that we're going to watch for a long time, especially if Yoki Haruyu blossoms.
Well, it's a trade that at least gets us this, I don't know how closely you follow the Buffalo Sabres, but the Ryan O'Reilly trade, to see Ryan O'Reilly hoist the Stanley Cup and get the Conn Smythe and everything else that goes along with it. At least Jason Botterill was able to flip Alex Nylander on this deal. Jimmy, the question I'm sure you don't have an answer, but wouldn't it be fascinating to know who initiated that deal? Was it Jason Botterill? Like, hey, if that defenseman's available, what would it take? Or was it Sam Bowman calling up and saying, oh, I see Nylander, what would it take? The question I'm sure we'll never get answered, but wouldn't you love to know who initiated this trade?
Sure, absolutely. I think it's a matter of, I do think that Yoki Haruyu, and I'd always thought based on the way the last few months played out, including during the season, that Yoki Haruyu was being shopped. That was my impression I got based on all the signs for this season. It just was just too odd that he went from, rising defenseman, right-handed shot who, wasn't even that high of a first-round pick. He was, a low first-round pick, 29th overall. And all of a sudden he goes from getting all this playing time to just not, being considered. He really wasn't, even when they had this sort of need for a third pairing defenseman in the second half of the season, they were going with other guys who this year aren't going to be part of the Blackhawks rotation in 2019, 2020. So, there wasn't an incident. There wasn't a falling out. I think there was just, they didn't view him for some reason as part of their plans.
Jimmy, what is the state of the Chicago Blackhawks entering this season? Because I'm sure there are some fans and maybe they themselves think, well, we just need a few pieces like this. We still have the nucleus. We can get back in a Western Conference and maybe you can get a playoff spot. Or are they the hockey equivalent to maybe the San Francisco Giants, where the rebuild is just you're a little too late, that this is an aging team that it's kind of like the Grand Hotel that everybody realizes might be a little run down, but they're the last to realize it before they start the remodel. What is the state of the Chicago Blackhawks entering the season?
Well, they're better than last year. Based on the moves they made, they picked up better players than they moved out. So I think they should be better. But as far as being cup contenders, you have a really good offense, and I think you improved your third and fourth lines, picking up Andrew Shaw and signing a Dominic Kubalik, who they traded for last year, but they hadn't signed until a few months ago. So they should be stronger offensively. They should be better defensively, but that doesn't change the fact that they still have aging defensemen in Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith, whose contracts are no movement and are going on another 4 years, 5 years for Seabrook. There are still question marks. They should be better, but your point about how they may not realize that they're over the hill is a good one. And Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves had fantastic years last year. They're not so old that you think that they're about to lose it. You know, they're 30, I think they're 31 right now, 30, 31. But besides them, you know, they're the only remaining pieces of the real core. You know, Corey Crawford, you know, has had some injury issues. He played well at times last year, but there's no surprise that was a surprise they signed Robin Lehner, but not a shock to bring somebody in to replace or possibly replace Corey Crawford next year. His contract is up. Lehner's got a 1-year deal as well. So this is a very important season, and I think it was essential to Bowman and the rest of the front office that they did whatever they could to make the playoffs. I don't think they mortgaged the future, but the moves clearly were designed to get back this season.
Well, if there's one player that Sabre fans might kind of go, it might not be Nylander, it might be Robin Lehner, but you know, I'm sure you know the story of Robin Lehner. But 1 year, $5 million, is that correct? How was a Vezina Trophy candidate on the market for that little? To me, whatever else that might have happened this offseason for the Blackhawks, that's the biggest win.
It should be a really, really nice contract for them. He was negotiating with the Islanders, and as Leonard told us, he was given a 2-year, $10 million ultimatum contract offer, and he took a little time to think about it. And then while he was thinking about it, the Islanders went and signed Varlamov, or I forget who they signed, but they moved on, and that made him available. And then when Bowman heard about that, he had some cap room. You know, the players he brought in this year had reasonable deals, and he wasn't one of those guys who handed out, like, you know, a six-year, $36 million deal. There was no $7 million a year contracts. So he had some money left over, and he decided to use it for this 1-year deal for Lehner. And 2 years of having real problems at the backup goalie position, I think, convinced Bowman that this was a smart move. And it almost certainly will end up looking like a good deal, assuming that Lehner plays well. He's going to get playing time because I think Corey Crawford's days of playing 55 games a year are probably over. So it should be splitting a situation where they split the net, and then if they get to the playoffs, they deal with that at the time. He's playing better then.
Jimmy, we're all pulling for Robin Lehner to continue on his path here. As you know, he has been open about his battles with depression and with addiction. And to me, Buffalo wasn't a good fit at the end because you're living in a fishbowl. And I think, ironically, when you go to the number one market, but it's the Islanders. I mean, what are the Islanders like the 8th? You know, who's really covering the Islanders? I mean, he could go into a restaurant, he could live his life in New York City, and nobody's paying any attention. Where do the Blackhawks right now fit on the Chicago sports landscape? And I'm just wondering, is that closer to the fishbowl end for Robin Lehner that he's entering in, or, you know, can he just calmly live his life as a semi-celebrity and not have to be bothered with? What is it like being a Blackhawk in Chicago these days?
Even when the Blackhawks were winning 3 cups in 6 years, they were, you know, the kings of Chicago, you could still live your life. It isn't like Buffalo or Toronto or other cities where hockey is everything. The Hawks did become rock stars for a few years, and it was a special time to be a Hawks player, a Hawks fan. And right now, I think one of the reasons why I think they're so concerned to make the playoffs is their season ticket base is getting smaller. They're settling back into where they used to be, below the Cubs, far below the Bears, and into that situation where they're more like the White Sox, more like even the Bulls are ahead of them too. So the Blackhawks, he's not going to have to worry about even if he goes, you know, 30-0 when the Hawks win a cup, he'll be able to live his life comfortably in Chicago. And and hopefully it comes to that. It'd be nice to get back to the postseason.
Jimmy Greenfield, Chicago Tribune. Before we let you go, a curveball, because I know you have the book 100 Things a Cubs Fan Must Know. I don't know if you have a take on the Cubs, but I'm a little surprised. I would think that they, you know, from where I sit, would be further ahead in the Central. This seems, like not comfortable at all. What, if anything, is wrong with this team, Jimmy?
they just have an odd offense where they just fall apart at the wrong times. They've hitting terribly with runners in scoring position. Their starting pitching has been average. You know, Yu Darvish has been kind of a disaster. Kyle Hendricks has had some injury issues. They're just not the same, you know, dynamic team that they were in 2016, and even the last 2 years. I don't know if their record is in the last 40 or 50 games, but it's well under 500. So they've got big problems. And you know, part of it too is they really haven't moved around their assets like some teams do. You know, they've stuck with Kyle Schwarber. They've made just brutal free agent signings at pitcher with Tyler Chatwood and Yu Darvish. So they're lucky to be in a pretty weak division this year, so they still could make the playoffs. But they certainly aren't in the same league as the Dodgers, and maybe even I can't even tell you the top National League teams right now. But they're not in the same league as the Dodgers, the Astros. If they happen to get to the playoffs.
You could just say here for our sake, not the Mets, Jimmy. They're better than the Mets, so.
Yeah, but isn't everyone?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I think pretty much so. Jimmy Greenfield for Chicago Tribune. Thank you very much for your time. If people want to follow you on Twitter or the Chicago Tribune, obviously, they can go to the website. How can people read more of your work?
I'm at JC Green X on Twitter, and please go to chicagotribune.com/sports for all our online content.
Thanks for filling us in, and I guess we'll check in with you this time next year to see the progress of this trade. Jimmy, thank you so much for your time today.
Sounds good. Take care.
Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.